your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Welcome, 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 boys and girls, to the big show as we get ready to talk about something called the Big Read here in Charlottesville. Thanks for tuning in. It is, after all, a beautiful Sunday morning. I think last week I thought it was September, but it is indeed February, February 1st. Everything's big today, right? The Super Bowl was on, if you care, where even non-football fans will be tuning into that. Even the folks listening on Lovingston's 94.7. And let's take a moment and thank Skyline Turbine for their support today, an alternative energy company dedicated to installing clean, renewable electricity. Skyline Turbine provides commercial and residential wind turbines, a green path to energy independence. Skyline Turbine, 434-882-1620, or at skylineturbine.com. So thanks for being here with us today. It is a beautiful Sunday, and we're going to talk about beautiful and important topics. We're going to talk about the Jefferson Madison Regional Library and other sort of library, public library in general, and one of the big events that they have coming up for February. Is it also going to March? Let me try this. Does it also go into March?
Yes, it does.
See, it's always much better when you can actually hear what's going on here in the studio. That was Krista Farrell. She's the Assistant Library Director at the Jefferson Madison Regional Library System. And we also have John Halliday. He's the real big director. Is that right?
Well, I'm not that big, Rick. But
well, you're not as big as me, but it wasn't really a physical stature kind of thing that I was referring to. All right, Ian, let's get that that turned a little differently. Because I got, do you hear all the echo-ish in here? A big shout-out to my man, Sean McCord, not feeling well today. Sean, at home, with that big illness that's going around the system. So, there we go. Let me do this. See if that helps. I don't know, Ian. I still hear that fuzz, but maybe it's just me. Anyway, we are going to be talking to John Halliday and Krista Farrell from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library, and we're going to include a big topic called the Big Read as we do that for the hour. But, you know, one of the first things that I want to talk about, by the way, write down our phone number here today if you want to get into it, 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, because this topic is going to progress more than just the Charlottesville Albemarle area. You know, one of the things I want to talk about, and John, since you are the director of the public library system here in our area, what does our area, what does it enhance or include?
Well, the Jefferson Madison Regional Library serves five jurisdictions in Central Virginia, Charlottesville and Albemarle, certainly, but also Greene, Louisa, and Nelson counties. And so our total service population is almost 200,000 people now, the way the area has grown. And a lot of people may not know this, but the Jefferson Madison Regional Library is actually one of the most heavily used public libraries in the United States. In fact, for libraries our size, we're actually the busiest library in the United States. And this year, 2008, was the busiest year in Jefferson Madison Regional Library's history. We checked out more books than ever before, more books on tape, more CDs, DVDs. We had more people coming in to use library computers than ever before, and more people attending library programs.
All right, stop. Because you're answering all my questions, and we're going to have a big party to celebrate the Big Read right here in the studio. But, you know, I was surprised to hear that, because I guess one of the assumptions that I would have made is that there is now so much modern technology that the, I guess the older, to me, the older version of reading, of going to the library and getting a book card and checking out a book, would have passed by.
Right. You hear that a lot, actually. And actually, over the last 10 or 20 years, people have said that a lot. Well, what's the future of books and reading? But actually, what's happened with public libraries, and it's not just here in Central Virginia, it's actually throughout the country, people are continuing to check out books like they did before. But in addition, they're checking out electronic media, the audio books, CDs, DVDs. And now people are using libraries more and more for internet access. A lot of people don't have internet access at home. In fact, there are a lot of places in the country, including our area, that just don't have high-speed internet available. So people visit their public libraries to do email. More and more people are using the public library now to apply for jobs and apply for some government services, because a lot of things now, including job applications, have to be done on computers. If you don't have a computer at home, where else are you going to find one to apply for a job? So actually what's happened is reading has stayed basically at the same level. People, in addition, are using libraries for electronic access, and more people are coming to the library for programs. So libraries are busier now than ever before.
That's John Halliday from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Krista Farrell is also here. Krista, do we have the number of users that we're actually getting? Do you have a number for that?
Well, the service area, as John said, is about 200,000, and I think our registered borrowers are around 100,000.
Really?
Right.
So 50% of the immediate area right outside WNRN, the Charlottesville and Albemarle County, because that's who you service, correct?
And also Green, Nelson, and Louisa.
Really?
Yes.
That's all part of JMRL.
Yes.
And you're saying that 50% of those people have a library card.
Correct.
I find that to be fascinating.
Do you have a library card?
I don't, because I'm one of those lame people who just buy my book or borrow it or do something else.
Well, I can tell you, to get a library card, all you need to do is come into any of our libraries and fill out an application, bring some ID with you that shows who you are and where you live, and we'll give you a library card that moment.
And I don't know why I find that to be so fascinating, but I do, especially since Sarah would tell me that my computer is lame and slow and I should go use the one. And I live very close to one of your, what's the proper word, outlets?
Branches, library branches.
Thank you.
Well, come on in. Check us out. You'll like what you find.
And you're telling me that it's that easy and it's that close. How many branches are there?
Well, we have 9 branch libraries and a bookmobile. So there are really 10 outlets here in Central Virginia.
And as far as the public library system as a whole, not just ours, is everyone across the country seeing similar numbers? I'm not asking you to give me direct, accurate, numerology, but across the United States, during our economic downturn, is this something that everyone is seeing?
Yeah, it is. It's nationwide. We have the statistics here to show it locally, but there's been a lot of activity in the media, reports in the media about the use of libraries going up nationwide. And it probably is due a lot to the economic downturn, because throughout history, public library use has gone up during times of economic stress. And you can see why. As I was saying, with the computers, a lot of people really have to depend on the library now for computer access, but also for reading, for education, for entertainment. People turn to their libraries during times of economic stress. And that makes sense, because libraries, a lot of times people talk about free public libraries, but libraries really aren't free. They're really a public investment. Taxpayers invest their money in this service. And, when times are great and they can afford to go out and buy books, that's fine. We all support bookstores. But when money gets tight, it makes sense to turn to the public library, because that's money that you've invested. And now you can cash in on that investment. So, but anyway, yeah, nationwide public libraries are busier now than ever before.
John Halliday and Krista Farrell, the director and assistant director from our local library system. And we're here today to talk about that and how it works and I guess why it's working when so many other things in our system are not working, as well as a big event that's coming up, the big read, which we'll get into in just a moment or two. Does anybody know, you know, you keep talking about use for computers. Do you have any breakdown on the number of people there to read versus the people there to do other things and what those other things, you know, any breakdown on that?
Yeah, we do keep statistics on that. Last year, over 1.2 million people entered our libraries or visited our public libraries, and they checked out about 1.6 million books, and almost 200,000 of those people visited the library to use computers. So, you know, so
I'm sorry, I missed that. How many?
Well, about 200,000 people came to the library to use the computers.
Okay.
So, you know, so out of 1.2 million visits, probably a million people were coming in to check out books or attend library programs, and 200,000 were coming in to use the computers.
What kind of library program?
Well, we have a variety of programs at all of our library branches. We have children's programs, preschool story times. We have summer reading programs for children. We also have programs for adults and for teenagers. We've started to have gaming programs to attract the teen crowd, the young adult crowd.
Gaming programs?
Gaming programs,
which
yes.
Is?
Things like Wii, Guitar Hero, Dance Dance Revolution.
Can I come watch that?
You sure can. We've actually recently did something that we let the staff participate so that we could understand what these Wii games were, because if you're older than a certain age, you really don't know what we're talking about.
I'm a good bowler.
Bowling, yeah. We did bowling. Bowling's fun. And we also have programs for adults. At most of our libraries, we have adult book groups. You know, they meet once a month. They pick a book. They read and discuss the book. At the Northside Library, they have a lunchtime lecture series, sort of, where they have a book that's a topic of conversation once a month for a lunchtime. An outside speaker comes in and speaks about the book. At the downtown library, the Central Library, we have a book group, and we also have a documentary film series. So every month we show a film, and then we have a discussion or afterwards. But the children's programs, I think, are the one stronghold that has always been there. The other programs have kind of developed. The young adult and the adult programs have developed more probably in the last 10 years.
Yeah, one thing that a lot of people may not know about Jefferson Madison Regional Library is that we're very economical. We're mostly funded through local and state taxes, and currently the per capita support is about $2.55 per month. So it's not a real high part of your taxes. So Rick, all of the income tax and property tax and sales tax that you pay, of the thousands of dollars that you pay per year, about $30 comes to the public library for support. But the programs that Krista was just referring to are paid for by the Friends of the Library. So whenever you see that the library is having a gaming program or a magician or a musical program, that's paid for by our Friends of the Library. And we have the greatest friends here in Central Virginia. And maybe later on we can talk a little bit about their annual book sale that's coming up in April.
I'm sure. I have a strong feeling that the two of you will help me talk about all the wonderful projects that these folks help with. Have these events, these things that are more than just the standard or the old days, walk in, check out a book and leave, have they almost been forced to develop because of the need for them? Sort of like, which came first, the chicken or the egg sort of cliche about to continue to keep up the number of users, did you have to come up with these other programs?
Well, I don't know about that. Actually, our area has always had very high library use. Public libraries have changed.
What about nationally, though? I would assume that the majority of library systems around the country have similar programs as the ones you just talked about. And so while Charlottesville is known to be a very academic area, I would also assume that that doesn't apply across the country straightforward.
Yeah, that's true. The demographics are different, and some libraries, public libraries, have to make much more of an effort to get people into the library so that they can find out what's there. That's true. But I think nationwide libraries are really doing a good job of that. And the gaming programs that Krista referred to are a new thing for public libraries, and we found that they're very successful in attracting teenagers to the library, kids who haven't been to the library before. And they've done a couple of studies, and they find out that 70 to 75% of the teenagers who come to the library for the games end up checking out books. So libraries are doing more than they used to do to attract people to the services. I think we have an easier job of it here in Central Virginia because, like you say, it is a very academic, education-oriented community that we live in.
All right, John Halliday, Krista Farrell here from the Jefferson-Madison Regional Library, which I had no idea actually included Greene County, and you said Madison County?
Greene, Louisa, and Nelson.
Greene, Louisa, and Nelson, as well as Albemarle and the city of Charlottesville. Right. So dial us up if you have a question, 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCK, certainly just because we're talking about the public library system here in Charlottesville and those counties, there are still lots of questions that apply to those who may be listening in our Lynchburg, Richmond, Harrisonburg, et cetera, all the other areas here that WNRN reaches.
Yeah, another great thing about our libraries is that we serve all Virginia residents. So even if you live outside of many of those areas we mentioned, you're welcome to come to our libraries and get a library card for free. We have about 500,000 books region-wide, so the books are between the five jurisdictions. But if you're in Charlottesville and you see in the library catalog that there's a book in Louisa that you'd like to read, you can just put in a request on the computer, and maybe the next day it'll be delivered to your local library. We have 6-day-a-week deliveries between all of our different branches. So you really have access to 500,000 books right from your home computer or from any one of your branch libraries. So just something to take advantage of.
You know, we've been talking about the different programs and the what I continue to call the more modern uses of the public library system, the computer use, et cetera. Has the staff needed different training to do with this? I mean, I think the image of the librarian does not include being able to show you how to use the computer or walk through it or help you with your internet exploration and that sort of thing.
I would say yes. The staffing has changed, and the skills and abilities required of the staff has changed. At all of our libraries, just about every person there needs to know how to help a patron use the computers. It varies depending. At the Central Library, we do have more staff with expertise in computer capabilities and applications. We have a computer lab, actually, which we haven't talked about yet. At the downtown library, we have on the mezzanine level a dedicated computer lab with 18 computer terminals there. So the staff in the computer lab especially are skilled at helping patrons. But really, at all of our libraries, there are public internet terminals. Patrons come in, and frequently they need help. In some cases, we offer tutorials. So if you have someone who's never used a computer before, they can make an appointment. And depending upon staff time and availability, they can make appointments to come in and kind of get a tour of how to use the library's webpage and how to use the computer to find what they're looking for. But this is a change, right? A lot of librarians didn't realize maybe if they went into the profession 30 years ago what it was going to end up being like in 2009.
Yeah, we have a great library staff, and we did a survey about 4 years ago. This was a random telephone survey. And 95% of the people said they were very satisfied with the public libraries here, and they liked the book collection. But the thing they liked most about our libraries was our library staff. And our staff has done a terrific job of keeping up with the changes in technology. I guess it was about, 6-7 years ago, all of the library staff went through training on Windows because, that's something that's still relatively new. And we worked with PVCC on providing training for all our library staff on the basics of computers, computer troubleshooting. So I think all of our staff at this point is pretty computer savvy.
And we should mention we were beneficiaries of the Gates Foundation, Gates Computer Grants, Bill and Melinda Gates. So we did get a nice round of new computers. That's been a while now. But that, again, was an impetus to make sure that everybody was up to date and understood the basics of the Internet and getting around on a computer.
Yeah. Bill and Melinda Gates are terrific. You know, they years ago they decided that public libraries would be one of their major support areas, and like Krista said, they gave us money for computers then, and actually they're just giving us more money for new computers now. We're going to be getting, I think, 30 new computers courtesy of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, because they realize how important Internet access is to people who don't have it at home.
11:20 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk about public library system with Krista Farrell and John Halliday. Here in the WNRN studios, we're going to give you the weather. And when we come back, the big read is going to get the hit. So be aware. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny and windy today. Highs 53 to 58. Cloudy with a slight chance of snow after midnight in the valley. Tonight, lows 32 to 37. Mostly cloudy. With a 50% chance of rain tomorrow, highs in 50 to 55, and chillier in the valley right now. Fair with some clouds across the listening area. 54 in the valley, 52 in Lynchburg, 53 in Richmond, 54 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Let's take a moment and thank the folks at 45fix.com. If you have a project but not the time, there's a simple way to find a contractor. From kitchen and bathroom remodeling, house painting, to decks and siding, it's 45fix.com. Immediate, no obligation estimates available anytime. The number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. And we know there's lots of radio stations and other music sources out there, but there's only one that brings you a program like the Wake Up Call every Sunday. And the only reason we can do this is because of listeners like Molly and Jim Kroll, Catherine Greiner, and Ann Evans, all who supported it in the WNRN Fund Drive this past fall. Also because of the program underwriters like the folks here today, as well as Five Guys Burgers and Fries and the Outback Lodge. Stay tuned. Tell a friend about the Wake Up Call and the other programming you enjoy on WNRN. And be sure to support us in the upcoming Spring Fund Drive. All right, back to Krista Farrell and John Halliday from the local Jefferson-Madison Regional Library System. All right, Krista.
All right.
Take it away. because yesterday was the kickoff to the big read. And I'm sure that there are far too many people out there who have no clue what in the world I'm talking about.
Well, I'm ready to tell them. The Jefferson-Madison Regional Library has been participating in the Big Read. This is now our third year. The first year we read The Great Gatsby, and last year we read To Kill a Mockingbird. This year we are reading Their Eyes Were Watching God by Zora Neale Hurston. And the Big Read, to give you a little bit of background, is a program supported by the National Endowment for the Arts. A few years ago, they did a study finding that nationwide reading had been declining, and so they were looking for a way to restore reading to the center of American culture. So the Big Read is a program of the Virginia Foundation Center for the Book. It's an initiative of the National Endowment for the Arts. And we do it in partnership with the Institute of Museum and Library Services in cooperation with Arts Midwest. We are also supported by the Art and Jane Hess Fund of the Library Endowment. Now that I've said all that, I can tell you what it is. But we do need to tell you about how it is funded and supported. The Big Read, it kicked off yesterday, January 31st, at the Downtown Mall Free Speech Monument. And the Big Read will run in February and March 2009. And what we want to do is encourage everyone to read Their Eyes Were Watching God by Zora Neale Hurston. And then we have programming and events around this book throughout the month of February and March. And we want to encourage people to read the book and to participate in the programs. The programs are free, and they will be held around the community in libraries, but also outside of the community.
All right. Let me jump in here.
Sure.
Because the Big Read, it sounds like this is its third year here in our area.
Right.
And you said because reading had been declining. So 2 years ago or 3 years ago, the public library systems had a noticeable lower figure in, I guess, customers and books being checked out?
Well, this is based on a nationwide survey that the National Endowment for the Arts did, and they said that there were 46.7% of the public reading in 2002, and they had shown that that was a decline. That doesn't necessarily mean here in Charlottesville we saw that decline, but nationwide they were seeing a decline, people watching TV, people using their computers, and so they were trying to do what they could to restore reading. They came up with this idea of a Big Read, and so we kind of started participating 3 years ago, and we don't know if this has played into some of the rise that we've seen, but I was thinking about this morning. We have, you don't have to buy the book. You can borrow the book from the library. For Their Eyes Were Watching God, we probably have various formats of this book, probably at least 50 copies in our library collection. We have it in audio. We have it, you know, in large print. We have it in paperback. We have it in hardcover. And they're all checked out, and there's a waiting list. And I was thinking about this, that, you know, people come in to get this book. They might not have been into the library for a couple months or maybe even a couple years. They come in, and they see to pick up this book, and they see, oh, wow, the library has all these other things that I didn't realize that it had. And then they pick up other books, and then that starts them back into the habit of visiting the library again. And I think that was part of the purpose of this program with the NEA.
And why these books? I mean, you said that the first year or last year was Great Gatsby.
2 years ago was The Great Gatsby, and then last year was To Kill a Mockingbird. And now the NEA has come up with a list of books, and it's on their website. I don't have the list in front of me, but they tend to be classics that people either might have read or they might have missed reading. Now, this year's book, Their Eyes Were Watching God, lots of people never read it. It only recently was kind of rediscovered and resurfaced and is a core reading book in high schools and colleges, but that's only happened in the last 20 years or so. So, for instance, I never read it until now, but some of my younger colleagues did read it in college, but I didn't. So this book in particular is not a reread for many people. For many people, it's going to be the first time they've picked up this book, where To Kill a Mockingbird, people were kind of, oh, I love that book. I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to see the movie, and don't you remember that part when Scout did this? Or, you know, so this is really a totally new book to a lot of people.
All right, so why, I mean, so you've told us that it's not really a reread for many people. For those people who are like, eh, well, okay, I mean, that's, what a nice program for them to do, and I think that's kind of interesting, but, you know, maybe that's not for me. Why this book in terms of what it's about and why you should take the time to read it? Because I haven't read it, and just a little bit of research that I did to prepare for today, and yes, I do prepare occasionally for the programs, I found it to be amazing, more not necessarily about the way it's written or anything else, but more about the author was what caught my attention.
Right. Zora Neale Hurston, the more you learn about her, the more you're amazed at what a trailblazer, I suppose, that she was. She did her own thing, and that's part of the point of this book, is it's a woman who is independent and finds her own way and finds her own voice. In terms of how this book was selected this year for our area, we work with the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities, and there's a list of books, as I said, that we can choose from. And one of the reasons that we chose this book was because there is a local author here, Mary Lyons, who has written for children about this author and written based on this book. And also we wanted to draw kind of on the idea of getting more diversity in our readers and tying this into Black History Month and to Women's History Month. So last year we did the Big Read in March and April. This year we moved it up for February and March because this book is about an African-American woman, a strong, memorable character. And so we really wanted to encourage people to read it and, you know, have all that local tie-in.
Yeah, Rick, I hadn't read this book either. In fact, I don't even know if I had really heard about it before it was selected for the Big Read. And like Krista said, Zora Neale Hurston's works really fell out of favor. In fact, they were all out of print at the time of her death in 1960, and she died in poverty and obscurity. And so it wasn't until about 15, 20 years ago that she was really rediscovered. And now this particular book is on reading lists internationally as one of the greatest works of the 20th century. Anyway, I read it a few weeks ago, and I loved it. Of the three books we've done so far, Great Gatsby, To Kill a Mockingbird, and now this one, this is the one I like the best. I think she did a terrific job on this book. It's a little, the first few pages may be a little tough to get into because a lot of it's written in the local dialect of Florida from the 1930s. But once you get into this book, it's a fast read and really enjoyable.
And for people who, again, who aren't aware, the book was originally published in 1930-something right. by a female African-American author. And 6 weeks or so to write this,
which
is now being looked upon as one of the the greatest works of the 20th century?
One of them, yeah. In fact, I have a daughter who's studying in England right now, and she's taking a 20th century literature class, and this is on the reading list. So, like I said, it's international.
I'm curious, Krista, and again, Krista Farrell, John Halliday here, from the public library system here in Central Virginia area, the Jefferson Madison Regional Library, and we're talking about, I guess, the current big event that's kicked off yesterday, the big read. You did this at, and I can never remember, I call it the wall, the Freedom of Expression wall, down just off the downtown mall here in Charlottesville. Why was that your choice to do that? Why that place?
Well, this is the third year that we've done this. We have a committee that puts together all of our big read activities and events. It's a library committee. And we wanted to do some things that weren't just in the library. We wanted to get out of the library and let people know what was happening. And, of course, that chalkboard down there is you know, people walk by it, they read it, they glance at it. It can be newsworthy. And so 3 years ago, I contacted Josh Wheeler with the Free Speech Thomas Jefferson Center. And 3 years ago, we just went down and we wrote on the wall. You know, we're having this program and that's it. They took a couple pictures. Last year, we actually made it more of an event. We had some representatives from the city of Charlottesville and Albemarle County Board of Supervisors come down and read a proclamation declaring that this is now Big Read Month, and we had some news media coverage, and we had, you know, a little bit of a larger crowd last year. And yesterday, we did it yet again. It was a little bit colder, but we still had a nice turnout. One of the reasons we choose that area is because it is on the downtown mall. There are people walking around. It's to really do some outreach and let people know that we're doing something. Yesterday we had the bookmobile come down to the mall also and park.
You do wheelies and donuts?
She didn't do donuts, but you know, it was a tricky driving situation because there's vendors down there. You know, with all the work on the mall, everything's been moved around. But she was down there, and that was great. Actually, she had patrons just coming up and checking out books that didn't even know we were going to be there for this kickoff. They just saw the bookmobile and said, "Oh, can I get a book?" So that was wonderful. And then we had news media that came and gave us nice coverage on the TV last night. And so it's really just it's a kickoff event in a public place where everyone's invited, and we're hoping that it will help get the word out, which I think it did. We were very pleased with the turnout and the coverage that we had yesterday.
One of the great things yesterday was that we had David Slutsky from the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors and Holly Edwards from the Charlottesville City Council reading a proclamation about the big read, and they did it as a duet. It was really it was actually a really sweet thing to see. And for me, it was a good reminder of how wonderful the cooperation is between the jurisdictions when it comes to library services. A lot of times you hear, oh, well, the city and the county just can't seem to get along on this or that issue. But when it comes to libraries, ever since the regional library started back around 1972, library services have been a cooperative effort that has run very smoothly. So I think actually regional library services can be a model for other kinds of regional services.
And one other thing that we did yesterday, which I forgot to mention, was we have a contest. We've had a contest the last 2 years. It's a YouTube contest. And again, we're talking about modern technology and reaching out to different people. And we've had a contest for teens where they come up with a YouTube video to help us promote the big read. And last year we did this with To Kill a Mockingbird, and this year we did it for Their Eyes Were Watching God. And Crutchfield is one of our partners in this effort. They provide us with a gift card for the winner, and we match that. So it's to get kids involved, teenagers involved, using modern technology, but helping us promote The Big Read. They put together kind of a PSA, and there are certain things that are required to be in it, and then it's up on YouTube, so I can send you the link and you can watch it. But we announced the winner yesterday, and so he got his gift card, and then we had some runners up, and so it's kind of another thing that we do down there in partnership with Crutchfield.
We, by the way, folks who are joining in late, we will have this program on our podcast, so we'll make sure to get the link to the YouTube as well. John Halliday and Krista Farrell here from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Dial us up if you want to ask a question or make a comment about the public library system, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Let me take a moment to thank Blue Ridge Graphics for their support today. They're at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. All right, Krista, you were talking about YouTube and modern technology. Does the library system have to battle in any way with iPods and TiVos and other sort of things that are modern technology that may take away from the time devoted to the public library system, to reading, etc.?
I think there's always that competition there, but we and it motivates us and encourages us to keep up with the technology. For instance, we had books on tape. Well, now we have books on CD. Well, now people want downloadable books because they want things they can put on their iPods or their players to exercise or walk with. So there is that, but they want those things from us. So that's the good thing. They come to us and say, well, can't you get this way? You know, so we have CDs. TiVo and DVR and the television really isn't as much competition. We do have people that come in to use the computers to watch whatever they might have missed, for instance, on The Daily Show or, you know, whatever TV program they've heard about. They can watch the inauguration at our computers at the library. We have sound, you know, we have headphones there, and so they can watch those things. If they missed it on TV, they can watch some of those things from our computers. But it does help us to keep up, kind of. There is a little bit of competition in that it forces us to make sure that we're keeping up with everything that's going on out there in the world. And our patrons let us know, too, what they want from us. And if we're not meeting their needs, then, you know, we need to step up and do that.
Yeah, our DVD collection supplements what's available at the local commercial outlets. We specialize in more educational things that you won't find at the local video store. And as far as downloadable audiobooks go, that's something that we've been looking at pretty seriously for the last year and a half to 2 years. But we've been holding off on that because there really isn't a vendor out there that provides a good selection of books that are compatible with the iPod. And it seems like most people who are using MP3 kind of players, most people are going with the iPod. So we're sort of holding off and waiting to see what happens with downloadable audiobooks for iPods before we jump into that. But I think that'll probably be coming in the next year or so. You'll be able to download a book right onto your iPod or MP3 player from home.
You talk about downloading from home. Has the reference section of the library just... I would think that for much of the public library system, that the reference section has gone by the wayside because you can do so much online now.
Well, Rick, one of the things that the reference department does is determine which online databases the library subscribes to. So when you go to the library's website, there's a list of online databases. The reference department helps to determine which ones of those we choose, and we pay for those, and you can use them from home, but you do have to have your library card. So if you want to log on to some of our online databases from home, you just use your library card. And we have things available like you can read the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post from home, from your computer, using your library card. You can look at current magazines. You can look at Standard & Poor's, which is a financial company, their reports and stock information, but you do need to have a library card. And one thing the reference department does is we help teach people how to get into these databases and find what they're looking for. They can call us up if they're on their computer at home and they have a question. They call up the reference department. The reference department will help walk them through. But it is true, some of the book materials are certainly being less. You know, you're buying less books because the things are available online and they're more current online. So you wouldn't be buying the books when the online database is more current.
So my free library card allows me to sit at home and read the New York Times Sunday paper for free.
Right. Now, with some of these
papers... What a deal!
With some of these papers, you can do it without your library card. I should stress that. I can read the Washington Post and New York Times from home once I subscribe. But
yeah, but you have to pay for that, right?
Some of them are available for free, but we also have all these magazines, Consumer Reports, Business Week, Time, Newsweek, Sports Illustrated, things that you would pay for from home, and we are seeing that. People drop their home subscriptions. It saves, especially in an economic downturn, why would I spend the money on a magazine subscription if I can get the same information either by coming into the library and browsing the collection there or by going online and using my library card, I can get it.
All right, so I think I got lost for a minute there, which happens all the time. Krista Farrell, John Halliday here from the JMRL Public Library System. You're telling me that I can already read the New York Times if I have a library card for free.
Yeah, actually, the New York Times is one that you could read. Even if you don't have a library card, that's available.
Online,
that's available. But the databases that Krista is referring to are actually databases that the library subscribes to for thousands of dollars. So we're investing, you know, some of our local money in.
But you're
databases.
Not charging me.
No, right. And then you,
as a free card user,
right.
to read,
right.
and consumer so, reports through.
The database.
Through
no.
your database.
That's right, Rick. And some of these, like the Standard & Poor's that Krista mentioned, a lot of the medical information. I mean, this is valuable information that's not available through Google or Yahoo. I mean, these are things that that you wouldn't have access to unless you paid a lot of money. And so by investing you know, part of our budget in that, we make these available for free to anybody with a library card. And so it's really something worth checking out.
That rocks.
Sure does.
All right, 11:42 here on the wake-up call. Hang tight with us. We're going to get into a little bit about censorship because I'm curious about the free wall system. All right, let's do this.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
All right, who's your favorite UVA sports legend and where are they now? The Hook goes in search. Former Congressman Virgil Goode and newly elected Tom Perriello have at least one thing in common. Esther Page, who has helped three different congressmen since 1991. She gets some FaceTime. And the wedding special insert is back. Get some info that you might need before confirming your plan. The Hook, reminding everyone to brush your teeth before bed. And Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is supporting us today. If it's keeping warm and having fun in the outdoors this winter, Blue Ridge has the gear for you. Whether your outdoor adventure is winter running, hiking, climbing, or snowshoeing, you'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Berwickshire Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. They're at the Mountain Inn in Wintergreen or online, brms.com. And not that you would, but don't go anywhere, because at noon, Drew Thompson will be here for Les Temps Perdue. If French isn't your thing, at NRN, that means the time's gone by. And on WNRN, it's 80s and 90s alternative tunes. Be here at noon. Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, back in action with John Halliday and Krista Farrell, director and assistant director at the Jefferson Madison Regional Library's public system. All right, we were talking a little bit about how the Big Read kicked off at the Freedom of Expression wall off the downtown mall here in Charlottesville, which to me always brings up the topic of censorship, because that's why it's there, at least in my mind. Has the public library system, the JMRL, had any issues with censorship?
Well, every public library has dealt with censorship as long as public libraries have existed. And the freedom to read, of course, is one of our basic American rights. It may be something we take for granted, you know, like going to church or having the freedom to read whatever we want, having the freedom to complain about our politicians. These are things that we probably take for granted. But there are a lot of places in the world where those freedoms don't exist. China, for example, Saudi Arabia. So here in the United States, we really are fortunate to have all these freedoms. But the freedoms do have to be protected. And yes, from time to time, libraries are challenged about some of the materials they have because somebody decides that something that they've checked out of the public library should not be available for someone else.
What items, what books, which have been challenged here? And has it been anything in the last 10 to 20 years?
Well, We are fortunate here, I think, in Central Virginia that we do not have many challenges to the books or magazines or any other materials that are in our libraries. And in my tenure here at the library, I don't remember any organized effort to remove anything from our public libraries. But we do receive probably about four or five requests a year to remove something from the public library or maybe to have it shelved somewhere else. But again, probably because we are such an educationally oriented community, people just don't generally challenge the books in public library. But since this is something that you're interested in, Rick, I did print out the American Library Association's list of the 10 most challenged books in public libraries. Would you like me to share?
Well, let me see if I can guess a couple. I'm not going to try because my brain does not function well. But fire away.
Okay, well, I've read six of these.
Something by Vonnegut.
Vonnegut didn't make this list, but I know that his books are challenged. Well, the number one most challenged book last year was And Tango Makes Three. I don't know if you've heard about that one, but that's it's a children's book about penguins.
It's the title that attracts the attention.
It's
a family situation.
It's a family situation.
Oh, I understand.
And then there's The Chocolate War by Robert Cormier. That's been around for years, but that's regularly challenged. It's a young adult book. Olive's Ocean, The Golden Compass was the fourth most challenged book. The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn.
Okay, I would have guessed that.
And The Color Purple.
Okay.
TTYL, that's one I'm not familiar with. I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings by Maya Angelou. It's Perfectly Normal. And The Perks of Being a Wallflower. You know, most of these were challenged because of social issues, mostly sexual issues. In fact, none of them were challenged on political grounds, you know, and that's sort of the way it goes in public libraries. You know, we have books like Mein Kampf or the Communist Manifesto, and those are okay with everybody, but it's usually the books that deal with social issues.
And
that get challenged.
It sounded like, and again, I'm not that familiar with probably six of those, but it sounds as though the majority of them are for the young readers section of the book.
Right. And, you know, everybody's well-meaning, and people...
I don't know about that.
I think so. And people think that they're doing a good thing to try to keep some of these books out of the hands of children. But at the public library, our policy is it's really the parents' job to decide what their children read. You know, we look at the public library really as a smorgasbord or a buffet, and you know, there's a lot of good stuff there. And I have four kids, and when we used to go to the buffet, at least at first, you know, my son would come back with his plate full of chocolate pudding and ice cream and cakes and all that kind of thing, and we. And, you know, we'd send them back and say, you can have that, you know, dessert comes after the good stuff. And that's the way we look at it at the public library. It's really, it's the parents' job. It's not the buffet's owner's job to decide what the kids are putting on their plate. So we make everything available. We encourage parents to be actively involved in what their kids are checking out. But please don't ask the public librarians to tell your child what he or she can read or not read.
11:49 on the wake-up call. Chris DeFerro, John Halliday here from the local public library system, as we've talking about how that works and what is available and the current big event, the big read, and that going on.
And Rick, I'd like to mention specifically a few of our Big Read events. We really haven't had a chance to do that. We have had some great partners in the last 3 years, and this year one of our new partners is Fellini's Number 9, and we are having a First Friday opening of an art prints exhibit at First Fridays on February 6th at Fellini's Number 9. We're also having a Harlem Renaissance kind of swing night co-sponsored by the Charlottesville Jazz Society at Fellini's Number 9 on Wednesday, February 11th. The Gravity Lounge has been a partner of ours for the past 3 years, and the previous 2 years we've done public readings at the Gravity Lounge. This year we're excited because we're going to have Corey Harris there. This is the one event, I think, of all of our events that we actually do have tickets being charged. It's a $15 ticket, but it is at the Corey Harris will be at the Gravity Lounge on Saturday, March 7th. We also have a variety of book groups, lectures. We have a children's program. Former Charlottesville resident Baba Jamal Karam is going to be doing a storytelling program with African and African American culture storytelling, and that will be at the Crozet Library on February 28th and at the Main Library downtown on March the 1st.
Can people go online somewhere?
They sure can.
To find the listing so that they can go, you know, that sounds really cool. Or, oh, that's a day that I can set aside because it doesn't conflict with some other Saturday thing that I have going on.
Sure. We have these beautiful brochures that you can pick up at any of our libraries, but if you would rather and you have questions and want to check right now, you can go to the library's website at www.jmrl.org, and you'll see on the right-hand column there's a big read logo there. You click on that and that will tell you all the events. You can also go to the library's website to find out about all of our programs. We have children's programs and adult programs going on all spring, not all tied to the Big Read, just our regular programs. And some of the children's programs do require registration, so you look at the fine print there to see, because actually some of our children's programs, especially at the Northside Library, are in such demand that there becomes a waiting list at Gordon Avenue also. I think that's been happening lately.
You said Gordon Avenue. Don't they have a big
room downstairs?
Book sale? Well,
they have the
book sale.
Yes,
year, right. Is that the one that? And that's what sticks in my mind for when you say Gordon Avenue.
Thanks for remembering that, Rick. We've had an annual book sale now at the Gordon Avenue Library for about 45 years, and the book sale now brings in over $100,000 per year.
What do you sell, one book for $100,000?
We sell about 80,000 books, I think.
Great.
And these are books that are donated by community members. You know, people are cleaning out their attics or whatever, and they give the books to the Friends of the Library. And most of the money that's raised at the book sale is used for the children's programs that Krista was talking about earlier. So we bring in really world-class performers, storytellers, musicians, and so on. And it's all paid for by the Friends of the Library. So they're a great group, and the book sale is just a wonderful event. If you've never been to it, it's Gordon Avenue Library. This year, it's the first 2 weeks of April, I think.
I think Rick has the bookmark, but it is they changed the format a little bit this year. They used to do a weekend, and then they'd close for a week, and then they'd be open another weekend and the following week. This year, they're going to be open, I think, continuously. Once they open, they're going to be open, and they're going to be selling all kinds of books the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty amazing. There can't possibly not do this if you want to. Gordon Avenue, by the way, for those who are newer to town, between Preston Avenue and Rugby Road, and I would think that with everything going on that you could find it. But April 4th through April 19th, from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., there can't possibly be an excuse if you have interest to go down. And my memory is that, I mean, there are just tons and tons and tons of books.
There are.
And it's probably the best organized used book sale anywhere. And you get such great deals. You can pick up best sellers for a couple of dollars. It's it's a fun place to go. And
they have videos, they have DVDs, they have children's book, adult books, textbooks, they have sheet music, they have records. Anybody remember records? They still sell records at the Gordon Avenue Book Sale. They have CDs. They really have everything. And the other thing is that they are continually restocking. So if you just went the first weekend, don't think that you've seen everything. Keep coming. They have boxes and boxes of stuff stored that they just keep putting out. So the inventory just keeps being changed over, and they sell until everything's gone.
Yeah, and for our libraries, it's just so great to have these friends with money.
And the great community that gives us all these donations to sell.
Yeah.
Again, John Halliday and Krista Farrell here from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library as we talk about the system and how it works. My understanding, at least from it seems like a little article that I read in the Daily Progress months and months ago, is that you may have to close a branch or two. Is that correct?
No. I don't think that was about Jefferson Madison Regional Library, although there are libraries throughout the nation right now that are being forced to close branches because of the economic downturn. Here, in Central Virginia, we're fortunate that we're not faced with that. I hope we won't be faced with that, although the next year or two looks like we'll probably have a pretty tight time. We don't expect we'll be adding any services or adding any hours. But there's been no discussion here about closing branches or cutting back on hours.
There's again, been delays in some projects that we had hoped were going to start.
Yeah, right. You may have seen, Rick, about the delay of the Crozet Library project. We're planning to, Albemarle County's planning to open a new library in downtown Crozet, and that's been delayed. It'll probably be delayed for a couple of years because of the economic downturn, but we hope to get it done as soon as possible, and we'll have a great library in Crozet.
All right. I see the phone line. Ian's getting a phone question from someone. So hang tight, 11:56 here on the Wake Up Call. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS-FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. And let me thank Free Union Country School for being with us today. The Free Union Country School currently celebrating its 25th year. Free Union Country School hosting an open house on Tuesday, February 3rd from 9 a.m. until noon. You can check out a community of dedicated teachers, involved parents, and students excited about learning. For more information about the open house or progressive education, it's 434-978-1700 or freeunioncountryschool.org. That's all one big phrase. Let's see. Oh, just a nice comment from somebody about these two obviously love their jobs and are important to the community. And that's a nice way to get close to finishing the hour. We got a couple minutes left. But when you got somebody call in who can tell that over the air, as I, make fun and make silly faces and burp when I turn my microphone off, and it still comes through. So somebody out there can tell that you love your job. And it is important to the community. And I think a lot of people forget that the public library system is free and it's out there for everyone.
Yeah, it's a great American institution. Again, it's not really free. You've paid for it with your taxes, so make the most of it.
And Rick, we invite you anytime you want to come to any of our libraries. We'll give you a personal tour and get you signed up with a library card.
Yeah, I mean, I admitted early on in the program that I don't have a library card. I think that's laziness on my part, because I do read, and I read a lot. But now that I know I can get my magazine subscriptions for free with my library card.
We'll show you how that works, too.
You could save a lot of money with a library card.
Yeah. And I'm not that far away from the Northside Library, so...
Great.
And real quick, we just have a minute or so left. You mentioned about how Northside seems to have a lot of the kids' programs.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any of the other branches that sort of have their own specialty for somebody who might live in that area?
The Gordon Avenue Library has a special African-American collection. at Gordon Avenue. It's just been specially funded and placed at Gordon Avenue. Northside is very popular, I think, because of the, not in part, they have wonderful programs and wonderful staff, but they also have unlimited parking there. So that has certainly been an attraction versus Gordon Avenue or the Central Library. And then our branches out in Crozet, Green, Louisa, Nelson, Scottsville, I mean, everyone is very busy. I mean, their summer programs, the kids pack into their public meeting rooms and until no one else can fit in.
Yeah, Northside is our busiest branch library, and I can say that Albemarle County is actually looking for more space for our Northside library. So we do hope to expand services at Northside one of these days.
Well, thank you both for coming in, Krista Farrell, John Halliday. The Big Read has kicked off yesterday. Go online to jmrl.org. Look for the link to the Big Read. Tons, many different functions, events tied into reading this book. A wonderful book written in 6 weeks by an African-American woman, published in 1937. Everybody should get out, do your best to find this book and read it. You said over 50 sorts of copies.
Oh, yes. Library has many copies of it in various possibilities. Hardback, paperback, audiobook, CD, tape, large print. We also have other books about Zora Neale Hurston, other books by Zora Neale Hurston. And the used bookstores and the other bookstores know that this program is going on, so hopefully you'll be able to find a copy wherever you're looking for it.
All right. Next week, two folks from SELC as we talk about offshore drilling. All right. Adios.
Thank you.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.